2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, this is a huge, huge win. It's the FBI for the win.
The old adage, follow the money, still applies. And that's exactly what we do.
That was Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco at a news conference. FBI special agents, boy, did what we thought. I thought was the impossible. They hacked the hackers. They hacked the hackers. They recouped more than $2 million in that ransom that was paid to those hacker creeps out of Russia who shut down the Colonial Gas pipeline.
Yeah. And again, it's always good when the good guys win. And again, it raises so many interesting questions in terms of, one, how did they do that? We thought Bitcoin was supposed to be this impenetrable, non-traceable, non-trackable. And then what does it do in terms of future hacks? What does it do to the bad guy's strategy moving forward?
Oh, I think it puts a dent in their MO. What do you think?
So I think in this kind of thing, it's always a leapfrog issue where you have the bad guys win a couple rounds, the good guys figure it out, they get out in front with some new technology or new strategy or new approaches to things, and the bad guys figure out how to go around that. So it's a bit of a leapfrog back and forth, but this is a great win.
In a moment, let's ask an IT expert what she thinks this will do to the hackers. Will it put them at bay or hold them at bay for at least a little while? So, you know, remember that pipeline hack? I don't see how anybody could forget about it, but maybe you weren't aware that this caused huge lines. It happened, I believe, the beginning of May, around May 8th, at gas stations. People were lined up along the East Coast because that pipeline, the Colonial Pipeline, runs some 5,500 miles. And what had happened is that hackers had gotten into Colonial's system, their computer system, and encrypted the data. And in order to get that decryption code or that key, Colonial paid the dark side, which is the hacker gang out of Russia, some $4.3 million.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's going to be a fascinating part of the discussion that President Biden has with Vladimir Putin early next week, since they are based in Russia.
And so this was an estate hack.
Not a state-sponsored.
This was a criminal gang hack.
That's right. And they are,
from what we've been told.
Yes. And they are inside of Russia. And I think that's significant. They are not a quiet player in this particular hacking game. And so I think that's going to be an interesting part of the discussion. And what does that mean? What does it mean in terms of, it adds a whole new dimension to a lot of our foreign policy when you have these kind of hacker incidents going on.
Before we get to our live interview, can I tell you what I've learned by reading the court documents this morning about how the FBI recouped more than $2 million of the ransom that was paid? Because I think this could be the formula for getting ransoms paid. Or how about this? Why even ask for a ransom anyway if you know the FBI is going to be able to trace it,
track it down?
So there's a new task force. It's called the Digital Extortion Task Force. And this is part of these massive, you know, to attack these massive cyber attacks that go after these bad guys. So first of all, can you imagine sitting at work, boy, you get a message on your computer screen that pops up and says you're under attack, that this is like a ransomware attack? That's what happened to the Colonial Pipeline workers.
Yeah. I mean, as a gas pipeline, I mean, that had to be just chaos inside the organization.
So then you start to scramble and figure out a way to decrypt and pay this ransom so you can get the decryption key in order to unlock the data. And let's not forget, there have been many other massive hacks. We had one at the University of Utah.
That's right.
Where they paid something in the neighborhood of $400,000 to get the decryption key from hackers. There's been a major insurance company was hacked. I think they paid, it's been reported, $40 million to hackers. So this is a big deal. So then from there, the FBI follows the ransom payments virtually through a Bitcoin ledger. Now, Bitcoin is supposed to be untraceable.
Right.
Not for the FBI. And then the FBI breaks into the Bitcoin wallet where all of this money had been deposited by Colonial Pipeline, and they get back 64 Bitcoin, something like that. Not all of the ransom, but a
but
good
over 2 million,
a
over
good
half.
Chunk of the ransom. That's
yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
That's a nice win. It's a really nice win. And I think it's so challenging because, again, you're looking at not just what the hackers are doing, but you also have to look at what Bitcoin is doing. Because now you know Bitcoin is going to go back and make it harder for people to penetrate that ledger and figure out how to do what the FBI did. So this impacts businesses as both on the Bitcoin side, but also on those who are trying to protect their data and their information.
Should we get Tara Anderson into the conversation?
I think Tara will have a really good perspective.
She's
on
our
all this.
IT expert from Nexus IT. Good morning, Tara. Are you there? Did the hackers get to the phone line? Tara, are you with us? We can't hear her. Okay, we have no idea what the problem is with the phone line. So apparently we're not going to be able to talk to Tara Anderson because I really did want to ask her from her point of view, her vantage point, does this take the ransom out of ransomware?
Yeah, and I do think it's an interesting thing. And just kind of going back to our previous discussion for those who weren't with us earlier as we were talking about, you know, how connected we are and interconnected we are to the technology. Remember, this shut down all of the gas lines. There were, you know, lines in the east. And the solution, the immediate solution to get gas to folks was getting rid of some of the regulation for old school things, like letting the truckers drive overnight, letting ships come up the coast. There were a lot of very low-tech solutions to keep the gas and energy flowing there on the East Coast.
Well, the interesting thing about this dark side gang to me was that they kind of acted as though they were a Robin Hood, where they were going to take ransom from profitable companies and then give some to charity. I wonder if the FBI was able to trace where those other 12 or so Bitcoin ended up to see if they actually gave any to charity. Why am I so doubtful?
Yeah. I think that's a healthy dose of skepticism today, Debbie.
We're going to see if we can get Tara Anderson of Nexus IT on the phone later in the show to find out, you know, if she knows anything more about how the FBI hacked the hackers and also what this means for future hack attacks.
Yeah.
Straight ahead. President Joe Biden's list of action items, Boyd, you've talked a lot about this on our show, on your show, Inside Sources. They're stalling.
Yeah, it's they've hit the brick wall. This is a common thing for presidencies, and there's a lot to explore.
So, like, what's going to happen to his multi-billion, trillion-dollar-plus infrastructure package? Whatever happened to free college? What's going on with police reform? And I want to talk to you about why his own party is getting in his way next.
Dave and Dujanovic.
This is how to use KSL all morning long.
We have the top stories mornings from 5 to 9.
And now Dave and Dujanovic talk about those stories from 9 all the way to noon.
More time with Dave and Debbie
on KSL News Radio.
Hey, we want to get you back to work, and we're going to help you get back to work with the help of Sphereon Staffing. Ron Zarbuck, owner of Sphereon, is on the phone with me right now. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Debbie. I'm so glad to be talking to you about working.
Let's get folks back to work. I know a lot of folks are out there looking for jobs. Talk about, first, out of the gates, in your view, why should people be getting back to work now?
You know, so many people, they say, you know what, we have such good, you know, stimulus money and enhanced incentives for unemployment, but it's important to get back to work. You know, at work, you can get so many more benefits than like stimulus money, such as experience, growing as a person, benefits, other incentives and bonuses, tuition payments, all sorts of things that you can do getting back to work. And the most important thing you can do is getting back to work is sharing your talents. We all have talents that are very important to share. You know, we are a diverse community and we need everybody's talents. These companies need talents, talented people. And so let's all get back to work.
Well, Ron Zarbuck is the owner of Spherion of Utah. So, Ron, what are the advantages of using Spherion staffing and recruiting when looking for your next job?
So Spherion partners with the top national and local companies along the Wasatch Front. And we are your agent. We can coach you. We can assess you to see what you're good at, what you enjoy, what you like. Then we can put you out in different companies based on your talents and what you are interested in. And you can try out different companies to see what works for you. If you're not sure what you want to do, if make sure there's a good match. And so it's to get into, figure out some ideas on what you want to do. If you find a great match, usually you can just stay there as long as you want.
Ron, I know your company has 600 jobs available. How can people learn more?
The best way to learn more about our jobs is just go to spherion.com and call one of our offices. We have all of our jobs posted and all the job postings. But I think spherion.com is the best way to find out about the jobs we have available.
Ron Zarbuck, the owner of Spherion of Utah. Don't go anywhere. I want to have another conversation with you in about 15 minutes right here on the Dave and Dujanovic Show.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.